Stand with me in the chapter that we have read together, Hosea chapter 10. And our text for meditation this morning is verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And with God's help, I'd like to consider particularly the last part of the verse, where the prophet says, it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And the subject before us is seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. And before we spend and consider this subject, just a few words of introduction about this book of Hosea. I was quite relieved this morning when I was having a look to Matthew Poole in his introduction to this book, when he says that this is one of the most difficult books to understand in the Bible. And I'm sure when you go and arrive at this book, it's quite hard to understand what is the prophet referring to. What is he talking about? What is the subject? Is he talking about Israel? Is he a promise? Is there an invocation? It's not an easy book to understand. But also you will find that this book has been written by one of the last prophets that worked in the north, in the kingdom of the north. Hosea was a prophet of the last hour, like Jeremiah for Judah and Jerusalem. So he was one of the last prophets who prophesied and was sent by God to try to turn the people of Samaria and Ephraim back to serving God. And that's why you find his judgments and his threatenings so real and severe. There is no time to waste. It is time to turn. And that's why you find passages who are so moving, where God pleads with Ephraim and with the people in Samaria. It is the last hour. There is no time to waste. And because he is the prophet of the last hour, that he says in our text, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. And the first point, the first thing I want to consider with you is, who are those that must seek the Lord? Who are the seekers? Who are those whose duty is to seek the Lord? God's professing people. It's very easy for us to say the unconverted must seek the Lord. It's very easy for us, the unbelievers must seek the Lord. Of course you must. You who are not a Christian, it's your priority of life. You should forget everything else but seek the Lord. But Hosea was not preaching to the Moabites. He was not preaching to the Egyptians. He was not sent to the Assyrians. He was sent to the people of Israel, to the visible church of his days, to the professing people of God. To them he said, it is time to seek the Lord. And so these words are for us. For us who profess and belong to the church. It might be by way of membership, it might be just attending. All of us here in this place, these words are for us. It is time to seek the Lord. It's not just for those who have no time for the church. It is not for the ungodly, for those who are openly rebelling against God. It is for us. It is for this congregation. It is for our denomination. It is for the church in Scotland. It is for the professing people of God to seek the Lord. And so here you are coming to church, and God is demanding from you, it is time for you to seek the Lord. I want you to understand, it is our responsibility as the Lord's people to seek the Lord. It's very easy for us to forget this. It's very easy for us to seek our interest, our pleasure, our money, our good. And we forget to seek the Lord, even as Christians. It's very easy to be taken by the things of this world and to seek the Lord. So we must seek the Lord. Secondly, the seekers are idolatrous people. Idolaters. These words are to a people who have been worshipping false gods. Look what he says in verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. They are idolaters. The 10 tribes of Israel, instead of worshipping God, the true and living God, they have been worshipping false gods. They have made plenty idols, they have built plenty temples, they got plenty altars. And to them who have forsaken the Lord and worship idols, the prophet says, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. For them who have given their time, their energy, their gifts, their money, their hearts, themselves to false gods, the Lord Jehovah is saying, it is time now for you to seek the Lord. And this is for everyone among us who has given himself to false gods, to false religion. It is time for us to seek the Lord. And maybe we have given our hearts to our houses, to our job, to our friends, to our families, to our church. It is time for us to seek the Lord. Maybe we have sinned the sin of idolatry. We have not been praising and worshipping God and seeking the Lord as we should. It is now time for us, whose heart is divided and given to many things, to seek the Lord. But then these words are to a disobedient people. Not just the Lord's people, not just a people full of idolatry. These words are given to a people full of disobedience. Verse 9, O Israel, thou hast sinned. Thou hast sinned. And what an accusing text is this. We have sinned. We have done evil before God. We have forsaken him. We have broken his law. And God is now calling us back. It's now time to seek the Lord. It's now time to seek him. Not our interest, not our money, not our pleasure. It's now time to seek the Lord. What a gracious thing it is. God could leave these 10 rebellious tribes to themselves. God could abandon them and punish them. And yet, though they have been sinning, God says to them, it's now time to seek me. God should be furious against these tribes. And yet he's saying to them, seek me. Come to me, turn to me. This is how merciful God is. And maybe you feel, oh minister, I've been living a life of sin. Minister, I'm guilty before God of many wicked things. I have broken the law. But here is the word for you, sinner. It's time to seek the Lord. If you are a sinner, and you are a sinner according to the word of God, it is time for you to seek the Lord. Not to flee away from His wrath, but to come to Him, to seek Him until you find Him. But notice also that these words, this encouragement, this commandment is given to a people under judgment. In verse 2, in verse 8, in verse 10, in verse 14, and verse 15, you will find God speaking to them as a people under judgment, a people more judgment is coming. And yet though they are under judgment, though God is angry with them, that there is more to come, yet God says to them, it's now time to seek the Lord. Though there is already judgment decreed against them, though punishment has already come upon them, though in a sense it's almost too late, God says to them, it's time now to seek the Lord. What a hope it is before us. Sinners, disobedient, unrepenting, unwilling to turn, under judgment, and yet God is saying, it's time to seek the Lord. And all of us are by nature under wrath. It's not that when we die we are going to experience God's wrath. We are already under God's wrath. By nature, all of us deserve and experience the miseries of sin and the wrath of God. You are a child of wrath. If you're not a Christian, you are a child of wrath. You are already under judgment. I know there is more to come. You will experience in hell much more wrath and anger and fury of God, but you are already a child of wrath. And so these words are for you, who are an unrepenting, an unwilling, a rebellious person. To you these are the words. It's now time to seek the Lord. It's not for some people, it is for all of us. It is for all of us. It's now time to seek the Lord. But what about the object? What are we called to seek? And notice that our text says it's time to seek the Lord. It's not time to seek for religion. It's not time to seek a new lifestyle. It's not time to try to behave a bit better. It's not time to get spiritual somehow. It's now time to seek the Lord. And the mistake that many do when they realize that there is a God, when they realize that they are sinners in the hands of an angry God, what they do, they try to find rest in religion. They try to find peace in churches and rules and regulations. They try to calm this God with their own strength. And God said, no, that's wrong. That's not what I want from you. What God demands to sinners, hell-deserving sinners, is that they seek Him. The commandment is not to become religious, it's not to become members, it's not to be baptized, it's not to sit at the Lord's table. The commandment before us is to seek the Lord, to seek Jehovah, the true and living God. And you find nowadays people seeking peace, seeking salvation, seeking joy in many gods. In Buddhism, in Islam, in the Roman Catholic Church, but not in the true God. That is the sad reality of billions of people in this world, seeking false gods, seeking help, seeking rest, seeking joy in something that will never give them joy, in something and someone that will never give them peace, that will never save their souls. How sad it is of thinking of millions of people in Italy, for example, and here, seeking in Mary the salvation of their souls. How sad it is in billions of people in the world seeking peace in Mohammed, and they will never receive it. They are seeking in the wrong way. The commandment is to seek Jehovah, to seek for the true and living God. God is saying to the Israelites, you have been making a lot of altars, you have been worshipping so many gods, you have been trying to find help in the Assyrians and then in the Egyptians, and nothing would happen to you. You have tried in many ways, you have tried many helpers, and no help came. It is now time, O Israel, to seek the Lord. And here you are, an unconverted man, and you have tried to find peace in your own strength. You have tried to find joy in your own obedience, and you have tried to seek religion, and you have tried to be a good person, and you have failed and will fail. It's time for you to seek the Lord. It's no time to seek orthodoxy. It's no time to seek exclusive psalmody or infant baptism. It's time for you to seek the Lord. And the mistake is that so many evangelicals or reformed people, they look for purity and they never seek for God. They are so concerned with the word and the letter and they forget the spirit. It's time for us to seek the Lord. We love having people becoming members with us. We love to see the roles of communion, we call it, getting bigger and bigger. But what we long most, what we pray for, is that you who are an unconverted person would seek the Lord. Not us. Not us. Not our church. But Jehovah. We cannot save you. We have no strength. We have no ability. But Jehovah. It's time to seek for the true God. But also, when our text says it's time to seek the Lord, it's saying that the object is not just God, but His fellowship. Fellowship with God. The people of Israel had forsaken God. They had forsaken Jehovah. And they served and obeyed and had fellowship with idols and false gods. And God is saying, it's now time for you to turn and come to me. And seek fellowship with me. With me. And so we are called brethren. To seek God and fellowship with God. Let us be honest, brethren. We get cold so quickly. We are so ready to forsake our God. We are so willing to spend time and energy in the things of this world and in the gods of this world. It's now time for us to seek fellowship with God, to seek His presence, to seek for His word, to seek for His company, to seek for His face. The desire of the psalmist was to have fellowship with God. For him, going to church, going to the temple, going to the sanctuary was the occasion for him to admire and behold God in His beauty. That was what he longed for. It was not for the sacrifices, for the altars, for the building. His pleasure was, this is the house of God, and there I can meet with God and have fellowship with God. And so should we. We should use the means of grace, not because they are beautiful in themselves, but because they are God's means to have fellowship with God. It's time for us to read the Bible, brethren. It's time for us to pray. It's time for us to go to church to have fellowship with God. It's time to forsake and forget the things of the past and the things of this world and to come to Christ and to seek Him and fellowship with Him. But also when we think of the object of seeking, yes, the true God, yet fellowship with God, but also it's time that we seek to please God. It's time that we spend our energy, our money, our gifts, our talent to please God, to do the things that please Him, the things that glorify Him. And how guilty we are, beginning with me, how guilty we are, brethren. We don't seek to please God. We're not interested. What does please God? Is this thing something that glorify Him? If I do this, will this bring glory to Him? And if I take this decision, will this strengthen His people? Will this do good to His people? Will this bring honor to Him? Is this something that pleases my God? I'm sure if you're married, when you decide to do something, you consider, is this something that pleases my husband or my wife? As a child, as a son and daughter, we always think, is this going to please my parents? Will my parents agree with me? It's time for us to please the Lord. It's time for us to do this. Not to please ourselves, not to please our families, not to please the world anymore, but to please God. And I think that this verse is a calling to the church to seek God's pleasure. Sadly, many churches nowadays are trying and seeking to please the world instead of pleasing God. But also when we think of the object of the seeking, it's time to believe in God. It's time to seek faith in God. In verse 13, we are told that Israel trusted in His way and in the multitude of mighty men. They were seeking help in their own strength. And God says, no, that's wrong. That will never help you. It's time for you to seek help in me. And you who are a hell-deserving sinners, you have tried in many ways to save your souls. You have tried to be good. You have tried to please God. You have tried to obey the commandments, and you failed. Sin still rules over your life. Hell is still a reality in your life. It's now time for you to seek the Lord and to find in the Lord help for your soul. So there are, where our text tells us who are those who must seek, tells us the object of our seeking. But thirdly, I want you to notice the nature of this seeking. It is urgent. It's time to seek the Lord. Not time is coming. Time has come. Now it's time for you to seek for the Lord. The gospel is never a tomorrow thing. It's always a today. And too many brought up in our church are waiting. It's time now to seek the Lord. It's now time for you to be reconciled with Him, to be at peace with Him. It's now the day, the time for you to turn from your sin, to repent, and to believe in Christ. Now you must seek Jehovah. Now you must seek Christ. Not tomorrow. Not when feelings come. Not when I feel convicted. Today is the day of salvation. Today. You must seek the Lord. The time has come. And too many are deceiving themselves. Oh, I'll do this later on. I'll do this one I settle with my family. I'll do this when I settle in my job. I'll do this when everything is fine in my life. And some even say, when I'm almost dead, I'll do that at that point. It is time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. And some of you have heard the gospel since you are a child, all your life in church, and you have not sought for the Lord yet. You have not been seeking the Lord yet. You have not put your trust in Him. Still trusting in religion, still trusting in yourself, still trusting in the help of man, instead of seeking help in Jehovah. It's an urgent thing. Have you heard of that woman in Inverness, 47 years old? She went to Morrison to do some shopping and she died in the car park. 47 years old. It's almost my age. It's now time to seek the Lord. Our lives could be taken away tonight. I could die tonight going back home. It's now time for us to seek the Lord. Not tomorrow, but now. Not tonight, now. The command is for you that when you leave this place, you must be seeking the Lord. Now, in this moment, you must plead with God for your salvation. It's time. It's an urgent thing. Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now God is willing, if you seek him, to be found. If you seek him now, you will find him. But if you delay, if you wait, he might be far away from you. Now God is near in the gospel. Now Christ is near to sinners in the gospel. Now it's time for you to seek him and to take him and to receive him. Tomorrow, he could be far away. It's not simply urgent, it is also a continual seeking. Notice what he says. It is time to seek the Lord till he come. Till he come. And some people say, Minister, but I have prayed God and I asked God to save me. No. You must seek the Lord until you find him. Until he comes. You don't give up. You don't say, I've done yesterday, that's enough. You ask God to be saved until he saves you, until he comes. You don't stop today. You don't stop tomorrow. You stop when he comes, until he covers you with his righteousness, until he cleanses you from all your sin. Until that moment, you seek him. And you give your life, you give all your time, to seek the Lord. When you work, when you walk, when you rest, any moment of your life, you'll be seeking for God and for his salvation. It's not a once and for all. It's a continual action. And you, Christian, maybe you've been backsliding, like the people of Israel, far away from God. It's now time for you to turn to God until he comes. Until he comes. It's not just a word of prayer in the morning. Oh Lord, work in me and sanctify me. It's not just, oh Lord, revive me, please. And then, as nothing happened. But if you are backsliding, you turn to God and you seek for God until he comes. Until your fellowship with God is restored. Until you are again in communion with God. You don't give up so easily. But you continue asking. You continue seeking. You continue knocking. It's a continual action. But also, it is a real seeking. It's a real seeking. The seeking of the people of Israel was ceremonial. It was religious. They were seeking to please God. They were seeking him in ceremonies and sacrifices and in altars. But God said, that's not the way you find me. How do we seek the Lord? We seek him in righteousness and in mercy. seeking the Lord means business with God. It's not something done lightly. It's not something done 5 minutes a day. It's something that demands a real effort. A real effort. Too many say, oh, I'm seeking the Lord. And for them, it's just going to church. Oh, I read the Bible once a day. I'm seeking the Lord. That's not seeking the Lord. You can read the whole Bible in a day. That's not seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord is to put an effort to have Him. Are you seeking the Lord? It's more than be religious. It's more than do something good before God. Lastly, and very briefly, the result of seeking. What happens to those that seek the Lord? What is the result of our seeking God? The result is that He comes. That He comes. Sinner, if you seek the Lord, He will come. If you seek the Lord, you will find Him. If you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find Him. What a thing it is to find the Lord. Or, if you want to be more correct, to be found of the Lord. What a thing. He comes. He comes. If you seek Him, He comes. But more than this, if you seek Him, this will happen. He comes and rain righteousness upon you. He will cause righteousness to rain upon you. He will cover you, not with the righteousness of churches, not with the righteousness of religion, not with the righteousness of men. He will cover you with an heaven-given righteousness. A perfect, divine righteousness. If you seek Him as you are, in all your sins, in all your failures, in all your wickedness, in all your idolatry, if you seek Him, the consequence will be divine righteousness. What a promise. Is this not a reason for you to seek the Lord today? It means, why should I be bothered to become a Christian? Why should I bother about God and all these things? If you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him and He will give you righteousness. That is the only way for sinners to be saved. There is nothing else that will save sinners but to seek Jehovah, the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ.